So how many know we're still talking about love? Somebody say love. What does Romans 5:5 say? Hope. Come on, say hope. Come on, everybody say it. What does it say about hope? Why doesn't it disappoint? Oh, wow, much better than last week, amen? Hope does not. Everybody say does not. Look at your neighbor, say get your hope up. What's a hope? Is that that's like a Mexican something, isn't it? No. Oh, sope, that's what I was thinking. What do I know? You know what I mean? So hope does not, hope does not disappoint. Amen. You get your hopes up. Why? Why doesn't it disappoint? Here's why. Because there's this love of God and it's being poured in your heart by the Holy Spirit. That's why somebody's like, well, you know what? I'll accept Jesus. I'll start coming to church. You know, I'm trying to get my act together. As soon as I get my act together, I'm going to come to church. You ain't ever going to come to church. Amen? How many know you can't get your act together without Jesus? Amen? How many know you can't get your act together without Jesus? You ain't going to get your act together without. God changes people from the inside out. I'm not ripping on, I'm not being negative about any organization that are trying to get somebody off drugs, trying to get somebody off alcohol. Praise God for all these organizations that are helping people and thank God for them. But you know, statistically, by far, the organizations that do the best job in getting people off drugs and off alcohol, they are all Christian organizations. Why? Here's why. I mean, I'm talking about the statistics are crazy in favor of the Christian organizations. And here's why. Because that's how you get changed from the inside out. And so, the Christian organizations, they have a good shot of helping people. Here's why. Because they're dealing with the spirit man. How many know everybody's problems are spiritual? Foundation. And these non-Christian organizations, I mean, and really, God bless their wanting to help people, right? But they're trying to fix it with the mental and with the emotional and with the physical. How many know you got an uphill climb if you're going to try to figure this out without the spiritual. Amen? Amen. That's why good doctors ought to get born again. Amen? Because all bunch of stuff that's taking place in the hospitals is tied into worry. And how many know Jesus is the pill to worry? Amen? Amen. But you're going to try to fix something spiritually, you know what, mentally or physically, and I'm telling you what, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you came today. So hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God, see, when the love of God gets poured into your heart, woo, your life is going to change for the better. Does that make sense? Your life is going to get better. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I think your life is going to get better. I talked to a good friend today. He comes on Sunday, the second service. Been coming here about 6 months with his wife. Really neat guy. You know what, was one of my high school buddies, you know what, Pioneer, played water polo with him. And And I love Larry said, he said, you know what? I'm thinking December is going to be our best December ever. I was like, man, that sounds good. I'm going to start saying that about my life. Amen. My December is going to be my best December ever. Say that with me. My December is going to be my best December ever. Woo. Amen. I was like, amen. I like that, Larry. I appreciate that. That's good. So I want to do a little review, because I end up just, we'll just do a little review. John chapter 15, verse 12 says this. This is my commandment. Everybody say commandment. That you love, one another as I've loved you. And we talked about this, that even though, how many know that seems impossible? How many know it seems impossible to love people like Jesus loved people? But listen, we're going to look at it in a minute. Don't be a curser, be a blesser. Don't curse yourself before you ever got started, amen? How many know if the Bible, if this is Jesus talking? How many know if Jesus, you know, Jesus isn't a trickster. One time, I probably told you a story, one of my favorite stories. I'm at Pointy Hills Mall, and this father is trying to get his two-year-old to come over, to walk from point A to point B. And so he had some soda, and he put that soda in front of that little boy, and that little boy would take a couple of steps, and then as soon as he took the couple of steps, that father would yank that soda back another 4 feet. And that little boy would start, but then the father would be like, no, look. And he did that. He did that over and over again. I thought, you know what? You're not training that child very good. You know what I mean? I mean, no, God does not do that with his children. He doesn't tell you to do something and then not give you the ability to do that. Well, how in the world am I going to do that? With God, all things are possible. Here's how you're going to do it. The love of God is being poured out in your heart. God's love is being poured out in your heart. You ever been nicer than you were? You ever done something really nice and you're like, man, I'm a nice person, amen? And kind of you knew. This happens to me all the time. You know what I mean? This happens to me almost every Sunday. And I'm not trying to be braggadocious on me. I'm trying to be braggadocious on God. You know what? I'll be preaching. I'll be thinking, man, this is good. This is good. This is good. Well, that's not, listen, why am I saying this is good? Because it's good. Because I'm recognizing that God is sharing something in my heart, that he's sharing something with you, and I just get to listen to it also. Does that make sense? No. That's not you. I mean, it is you, but the reason why you're able to love people beyond what you could before is because the love of God is being poured in your heart. All I'm saying is the commandment, God gives you this commandment that is possible, and don't you curse it out of your mouth that you think, or don't even think that way. Why? Because how you think is what you're going to say. And death and life is in the power of the tongue. Don't just think you can say whatever you want to say. Amen. Well, I'm going to say it because that's how I feel. Oh, shutteth thou moutheth quickly. Amen. How many know to be slow to speak gives you an opportunity to be led by the Spirit? Amen. I'm going to say that again. To be slow to speak gives you an opportunity to be led by the Spirit. Amen. To be quick to speak is to be led by the flesh. How many know you can, how many recognize in yourself, man, you're witty. You can cut people down pretty quick. That is not a good trait. But if you're slow to speak, you have the Spirit has an opportunity to say, don't say that. Right? That's what you need to do. Make sure you shh. And then be led by the Spirit. Give the Spirit an opportunity to talk. Shut yourself up. Shut yourself down. Shut your flesh down. You ever said something and you thought, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. That's because you're quick to speak. So don't curse yourself. Don't say, no, I can't. No, you can. We're going to spend some time in Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And guys in the back, I don't know why it's not up here, but I'm going from 9 to 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay? Do you guys not have that here in the back? Okay. But I don't have it here. I got it in my Bible. Amen. Romans, let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 12, I'm sorry. Yeah, verse 9. Okay. Verse 9 says this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Oh, my goodness. I just took somebody's phone. Man. Oh, is it over there? Okay, good eye. Somebody's looking. No, I think it's in my pocket. Man, Ernie, that's what I do. I just sneak people's phones, and then on Saturday I sell them at the swap meet and make some extra money. Yeah. So let love be done without hypocrisy. Let me tell you what hypocrisy is. Listen to this. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. That's good, huh? I mean, that's helpful. So you're saying you believe something, but when it comes to your behavior, you're doing something else. And then he goes through what that non-hypocritic love looks like. This passage is very helpful. Amen. And it's going to be helpful to us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, this is going to be helpful to us. Let love be done without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Abhor. It's a word of passion to really hate something. See, one time the Holy Spirit said, you're too comfortable with the things of the world. How many know we need to abhor evil? How many know Satan's plan? Listen to me. We understand that how many know nobody goes to hell for watching an inappropriate movie? I'm not talking about a pornographic movie. I'm just talking about something that's just trashy. How many know there's a lot of trashy stuff going on? Okay. And so what happens is, I'm talking about church people. We know, you know what, that nobody goes to hell because they, you know what, watch something inappropriate. Is that not right? But what happens is, the Bible says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many know the Bible says, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life? How many know somebody who was a mighty warrior for God at some point in time, and now, you know what? They ain't doing jack diddly in the kingdom of God. Amen. They're not giving. They're not serving. They're not even raising their kids to serve God. Amen. Do you know anybody like that? And oftentimes, where it comes about is this overemphasize of grace. And then all of a sudden, well, you know what? Oh, that's okay. God will understand, and 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 that's no big deal, and that's no big deal, and that's no big deal. And all of a sudden, little bit by little bit, like by little bit, how many know your thinking starts to change, and then your actions start to change, and then you are far from God. Amen. And then somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, you know what, I'm from the church down the street, and I just wanted to invite you to church this Sunday. We're going to have an awesome, you know what, and you know what, you got to meet my pastor, and you know what, his wife, and you know, we got an awesome church, and the worship is great. And they're like, let me tell you what, you know what, you don't get to heaven by going to church. Who even said that? Amen. We're not even talking about that. I just invited you to church. But see, where that mentality comes from is a mentality of, you know, the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And the Bible, in God in his love is saying, you know what? Abhor what is evil. I mean, there's some things going on in our society that are gross. Gross. And now it's like, oh. Paul, in correcting the Corinthian church, said, you know what? There's some sexual stuff going on amongst you. And you guys are like cool with it. And he says, I'm telling you what, I made the decision, and I'm not even there. I'm writing a letter. But I made this decision. That is not okay. And there is just, I'm talking about in the body of Christ, in many churches, and I'm not talking about the buildings. I'm talking about in people's lives. There's just too much familiarity with a bunch of stuff that we ought to go, that is gross. Amen. And we need to be careful that we're not saying you're gross. That's right. But we're saying, listen, there's got to be enough love. We've got to recognize the wages of sin is death. Sin will kill people. Sin is killing people. Sin is killing people. And if the church ain't going to stand up for righteousness, if the church ain't going to have the standard, who's going to have the standard? Amen? We've got to believe enough in what we believe in to say, hey, this is the best life. And anything besides that is going to cause you harm. We've got to love people enough to tell them, man, you got to stop that. That's harmful to you. Amen? And particularly people who are our neighbors and our friends and people that we have relationship with. Does that make sense? Abhor evil. Cling to what is good. So I'm going to say cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Now let me unpack that a little bit. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Do you know something that would help us to allow people to come into the family of God If we would just be kind to one another. How many know kindness is a way of showing the love of Christ to other people? Just be kind. Look at your neighbor and say, be kind. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor. Everybody say, in honor.
In honor.
One thing that would help us is really to give honor to one another. That I was teaching that earlier. You know what? When you thank that person who's watching your four-year-old, when you thank that person who's taking care of your junior higher, who's teaching your junior higher, when you thank that person who's helping your high schooler, when you thank the sound guys for the diligence, you know what? You know what? When you thank the worshipers, you know what, for practicing. You know the worshipers on Sunday, you know they practice every single Friday?
Amen. That's it. Come on.
What do you think they come? I mean, they're talented, but you know what? You don't just throw that together, amen.
Right.
How do we learn? How many enjoyed the new song that we sang Sunday? What do you think? You know what? They just, you know, Isaac says, hey, you guys listen to it. And they just come in and oh, that sounds good. No. He goes over it and over it and over it and over it. I mean, what a great song. But what that is giving honor. And what God is looking for is a church that gives honor to everyone in the church. So there's this appreciation. You know what? Here, listen. I don't know where they're not up yet. They'll probably be up by Sunday. But the interns we have 5 interns this year. Man, give honor to them. Amen. Oh, you know what? How many like In-N-Out? Amen. Okay, some of you lying. How many like In-N-Out? Okay, that's what I thought. You know what I mean? Hey, it's, you know what? I mean, go over and just, you know, get some In-N-Out cards. And you know, how many know, you know, for a 17-year-old to get some In-N-Out cards, it's a good day, amen? How many know for anyone to get some In-N-Out cards, it's a good day? But imagine if we just honored the interns. Listen, they honor you. You know, when you come in and everything's vacuumed and the windows are cleaned, you know what I mean? And I mean, I don't have time to tell you all the work they do. You know what they're doing? They're giving honor to you. They're saying, they don't even, you know what, they don't even know your names. But they're honoring you, and they honor me. Because I tell them, hey, let's do this, you know, let's make sure this is like to make sure. And they just say, absolutely, Pastor. What are they doing? They're honoring. And so, part of loving without hypocrisy.
Amen.
See, remember what hypocrisy is? Hypocrisy is saying that you believe something, having a form of, I believe this, but then in your behavior, you don't do anything about it.
Wow.
That's, you're loving, but you're just not being honest. You're being hypocritical. You say this, but then in your action, and Paul is saying, no. It when we're going to love, let's really love people.
Yes.
And then he goes through the list, and we won't get, we'll continue this list next week. But this honoring, this giving honor, let's just appreciate people. That's one of the ways you give them honor. You know, by just saying thank you. You know, I'm honoring you. I'm grateful for what you're doing. I'm going to get you a Starbucks card. I'm going to get you an In-N-Out card. I'm going to do something. You know, I'm just going to, a lot of times, just you saying thank you is a big thing to people. Amen? I remember in the grocery store, you know, and I worked in the grocery store for 25 years. And I started learning some leadership things. I started reading good books and stuff. And I started noticing the lack of honor that was taking place in the grocery store. Huge problem, amen? Nobody would honor the managers. And the managers didn't honor anybody else. How many know, as you measure it out, that's how it gets measured back to you. I never forget, I had a friend, and he was always there on time. He always showed up 20 minutes early. He'd get his coffee. He was very diligent. He was one of the most diligent workers we had in the whole grocery store. And he was out for 3 days. I don't think he'd missed a day in 20 years, and he was out for 3 days. And when he came back, here's what he said. He said, "You know what?" And I thought, man, this is a good thing to say in the grocery store. He went to the manager and he said, "You know what? It would have been nice for someone to call me and say, hey, we miss you." Amen? You know, in the grocery store, I'm not trying to think I'm all that in a bag of chips, but in the grocery store, in 25 years, I missed less than 5 days in 25 years. And I always came in with a good attitude. I always came in with a good work ethic. You know what? I mean, that's just what I was raised in. You work into the Lord. And you know what? Even though, you know what, there were others around me that wouldn't do, you know what, they'd just do as little as they could. You ever work around somebody like that? They just do enough to not get fired. And there were people like that all around me, but that wasn't me. I just wanted to be diligent to get the work done. And you know what? And I was getting paid, and I wanted to be diligent like that. When I gave my 2-week notice, you know, nobody ever said anything to me. Can you imagine that? No manager, no district manager came in and said, "You know what, Drew, we're really going to miss you. We really appreciate it." Nothing. Yeah, not even a gold watch. Well, you know what? Listen, that's okay in the dog-eat-dog world. But in our community, that should not exist. Amen? We ought to be so quick. Our behavior ought to be so different that when somebody walks in there, they just go, "Man, I just like being around you guys." Amen. And then, listen to me, and then when you go out and you're working in your place, they ought to notice you're different. Amen. I mean, I say this as a testimony, but it's a testimony to Jesus Christ. But Tamara knew I was different. Amen. Actually, the truth is, I mean, we don't have this testimony, but everybody knew I was different. Amen. I'm serious. And I remember one of the managers, you know what, when he left, and he wrote a letter, and he said, and one of the things he said is, "You know what, and something about Drew, and he always wears snappy ties, and but you know what, it wasn't about my tie, it was about my attitude." Amen. Do you understand that? And that's what we ought to have. We ought to learn it in church. We ought to read this and say, "You know what, that is to me, I do not want to love in a hypocritical way. That I'm talking about, oh, I believe this and I believe that. But in my behavior, that's not how I act." See, love needs to be without hypocrisy. Amen? So let's be kind to people. Let's honor people. Let's honor everyone. Amen? Yeah, but and we do this. "Well, you know what, Angel, you're only this. What in the world am I going to learn from Angel?" You know what I mean? Some young whippersnapper, he's got funky shoes, and you know what I mean? Unbelievable. I can't learn nothing from him. No, how many know we can learn something from Angel? Amen? How many know we need to honor him for the gifting that he is to the body of Christ? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Look back at that at the clock and go, "Oh my, we're done." Look back at the clock. Come on, everybody. Look back at the clock. Go, "Oh my, we're done." Come on, look back at the clock and say, "Oh my, we're done." Come on, learn to do stuff easy. Amen. Look back at the clock and go, "Oh my, we're done." Thank you. Oh my, we're done. How many glad you came today? How many can remember this for tomorrow? Amen. I said, how many can remember this tomorrow? Father, help us to not just hear the word, help us to do the word. Help us to be kind. Help us to give honor to other people. We want honor. Father, help us to honor other people. Help us to honor our bosses, our ungodly bosses. Listen, I don't know who this is for, but God is saying to somebody, maybe many people, don't just honor godly people. I have put people in positions of authority over you, and I know they're ungodly. And you have qualified who you're going to give honor to. And you think it's appropriate just to give honor to godly people, and ungodly people, you think it's good, it's okay, it's acceptable to not give them honor. But God says, have I not told you in the word that I was the one who put them in that place of authority? So recognize you've been put there to minister to them. Give them what you think they don't deserve, because I'm telling you they deserve it. And you can be that person who helps them see Jesus in you. Because they're probably not reading the Bible. And they need you to help them. I don't know who that's for, but whoever it's for, you receive it. God, help us. I thank you for we have a church that loves the word, and we love to be changed through the power of your word. Father, thank you that when these people could be at home just watching TV and relaxing, they're here training themselves. They're here becoming enriched. They're bringing their kids and their grandkids. Father, thank you for this church, and thank you for your word. God, your word is a lamp unto our light. It's a light. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light into our path. Father, we thank you for the word that you shine some light on some dark areas that we could move in your love. May they see our good deeds and honor our Father in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.